This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. An article in the current edition of Encore magazine is called Building Church 2.0. It looks at how several churches are joining forces to try and draw in new parishioners and keep their current congregations. The article's author, Andrew Domino, joins us next to discuss what he found out about the new Common Ground Church. But first, as Michigan lawmakers look for various ways to boost road funding, the Earned Income Tax Credit has become caught up in the debate. Proposal 1, which was rejected by voters in May, would have increased the Earned Income Tax Credit to help offset the effect of the proposed higher sales tax on low-income residents. Now the plan approved by the State House would eliminate the state's portion of the credit to help come up with the money for fixing roads. The Michigan League for Public Policy has been urging lawmakers not to eliminate the Earned Income Tax Credit as part of any road funding deal. The bills approved by the state Senate leave the credit in place. Gilda Jacobs is the president and CEO of the Michigan League for Public Policy. Gilda Jacobs, thank you for being with us.
Sure. Hi. How are you this morning?
I'm fine. Thank you. Explain for our listeners who maybe don't know the minutia here a little bit, have maybe heard about the Earned Income Tax Credit, but don't know the details. How does it work?
Sure. Actually, the Earned Income Tax Credit is a tax credit that goes only to low-income working families. It is a very effective anti-poverty tool. It helps in Michigan to lift thousands of families out of poverty. And it was really created to help offset the fact that low-income working families actually pay a greater percentage of their income in taxes than do people at the higher end of the scale. So it's somewhat of an offset because they have a higher tax burden, if you will.
And there's also, there's a federal component and a state component of the Earned Income Tax Credit,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yes, the federal component was started first. Actually, it was really Republican legislation that was started a number of years ago. And then the state portion of this was created, actually, when I was in the legislature, and it went from 10 to 20% of the federal Earned Income Tax Credit. When the governor was first elected and did some tax changes, the EITC, the Earned Income Tax Credit, was reduced from 20% to 6%, but it stayed on the books, which was really a good thing. So fast forward, the doomed road proposal that went on the ballot, as part of the negotiations in terms of trying to get the votes to actually get that on the ballot, had a restoration, actually had a full restoration of the Earned Income Tax Credit as part of the proposal. So we all know that that proposal failed for a lot of reasons, mostly because it was very complex and people didn't really understand it. But the irony is that when the House came up with a plan, they decided to use the $117 million from the Earned Income Tax Credit to help offset the cost of roads. So, in effect, what they were saying is, you know what, we're going to pave Michigan roads on the backs of the working poor people in our state. And really, that turns out to be a tax increase on people who are working and they're struggling to get by because of low wages. And, you know, at the end of the day, it actually hurts local economies across the state.
How does it hurt local economies?
Well, the money that people get back through the Earned Income Tax Credit is money that goes directly back into those communities. So people use that money for a car repair. They may use it to catch up on their rent. They may use it to catch up on a utility bill, maybe buy shoes for their kids or at the corner grocery store. It's not money that they're using to go to a vacation, you know, in the Bahamas. I mean, it's money that is very real to them and where the, you know, in the big picture, in terms of what it's going to cost to pave the roads, that $117 million is a drop in the bucket. But for folks who are getting back a couple of $100 from the state EITC, that can, you know, sometimes make a huge difference in a family, you know, in terms of keeping, you know, the water running in their place as well.
Well, Representative Jeff Farrington, who's the chairman of the House Roads and Economic Development Committee, has argued for eliminating the state's portion of the EITC. And one of the things he says is that the average amount received by those in the state claiming the credit comes to only $2.70 a week. Is that figure accurate? And would you say that it's still important at $2.70 a week that the family gets it?
Well, depending on the family size, you know, and what they're earning, it can be $270 a week or more. But for somebody who is low income, so that's $270 a week times four, so that's $10. That's $10 a month. You know, the cost of formula, the cost of diapers, the cost of milk are very, very high. And, you know, even if it's $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month, for somebody who is struggling every day to make ends meet, that actually helps them meet their bills. So that $270 may not mean a lot to a representative or a senator, but it sure does mean a lot to the struggling working families that are in their districts. So I would not poo-poo $270 a week at all.
Representative Farrington has also said that there was a federal audit that found the program is burdened with fraud. Is there evidence of widespread fraud in the earned income tax credit?
This IRS studies show that the main source of overpayments to individuals was really through unintentional errors, not fraud. And the errors really show that this is a very, very complex program. For example, families that sometimes get this credit have very complex family arrangements. So there could be multi-generational families or separated parents. The interesting thing is that a very big source of the errors are really because the tax preparers are unregulated. So most of the errors were really made by people who were preparing the taxes, and they really weren't trained very well. So Treasury is working on trying to address this problem. Listen, we do not believe that fraud and abuse are things that we want to perpetuate. We believe that there need to be very reasonable and responsible measures to reduce errors, but we also don't want to compromise or undermine a program or reduce benefits to people who do qualify. So we have to, you know, take very great care and design a program that has integrity measures. So we really don't believe that that fraud and abuse is a huge problem. And again, the IRS showed that these mostly were unintentional errors.
The proponents of eliminating the state's portion of the credit will say that most of the benefit people are getting is coming from the federal portion of this. And we did note earlier there is a federal component. How much difference does that state part make, even reduced as it has been under the original proposal when Governor Snyder came in? How much of a gap is that still filling when the state has its portion of the earned income tax credit available to people?
You know, for people that are living on the edge, losing out on a couple hundred dollars a year can mean the difference between having a set of tires on your car to get to work or not. And a lot of other states right now, or, you know, around the country, are actually increasing the earned income tax credit. They're not eliminating it. So why Michigan would want to try to eliminate this when it is it's actually a very proven, useful tool in helping people get by, makes me kind of scratch my head. You know, we know it helps to reduce poverty. We know it builds economic security. And this is something that I think everybody on both sides of the aisle can agree upon.
You commissioned a poll of state residents to gauge what their thoughts are. What did that show?
Yeah, I mean, and that is really interesting. The recent polls show that two-thirds of people in Michigan support the Michigan Earned Income Tax Credit, and they're opposed to plans to eliminate it to fund roads. Voters really favor paying for road improvements with a gas tax increase over cutting the earned income tax by a 55% to 7% margin. And then by a margin of 74% to 17%, voters said that the EITC is an important benefit for working families who are near the poverty line. And 65% said that the earned income tax credit makes Michigan tax system more fair. So the people in Michigan agree that it's an important credit. They believe it's important to lifting families out of poverty. And, you know, we hope that the Michigan legislature will understand that the people in their districts believe this and want them to vote differently than it appears to be going down this track right now.
Do you think that part of the problem here, though, is that Proposal 1 did not get wide support, and perhaps that there are lawmakers who have read that as the earned income tax credit wasn't that big a deal to the voters of Michigan?
No. I mean, maybe that's how they're trying to frame this. But that is really not what happened. When, you know, when people were polled about why they voted against their proposal, it was not that the earned income tax credit was not a big deal. They voted against it because they felt the legislature didn't do their job. They felt that the legislature, you know, went home for the summer. They felt that the legislature punted. And it was also a very, very complex ballot proposal. And, you know, we know that when things are complex, people tend to vote no. So, you know, for those proponents of trying to get rid of it, to try to frame this as people didn't care really about the earned income tax credit, I think is really a very false assumption.
Now, you served as a state lawmaker for many years before going to the Michigan League for Public Policy, so you obviously have some institutional knowledge. We should also point out that the cast of characters has changed a bit since you left, especially now in Michigan with term limits. The turnover is pretty rapid. But what is your sense of, with the House having passed one bill and the Senate having passed a different plan, what is going to tip the balance here one way or another in terms of what ends up going to the governor, if anything ultimately does?
All right, well, I think this is what disturbs me and concerns me the most. So there is going to be an effort, probably with both chambers, to raise as little in taxes as they possibly can and try to take an already pinched and restricted general fund budget and try to squeeze out of that budget money to go into roads. Well, if you put money from an already dwindling source, which we have right now, and put that into roads, that means we have to take money out of other things. So where are we going to take that money out of? Well, if you take a look at what most of the money that we spend in Michigan, it's on health care, it's on schools, it's on corrections. So what areas do we want to further cut? We need our state to be a very competitive state. You know, we hear that we want to attract talent, we want to keep talent here, but as we keep cutting further to the bone till we get to the marrow, it's not going to be a whole lot in our state that is going to be attractive for people to want to come here or stay here. So I think we hope the legislature isn't penny wise and pound foolish in not looking at new revenue sources in order to keep Michigan an attractive state. And one of the ways that we're going to do that is by having good, safe roads, but not at the expense of low-income people and kids.
So if you're going to get new revenue and do it in a way that doesn't unfairly impact the people at the lowest rungs of the economic ladder, where should state lawmakers be looking?
Well, I think they should be looking at figuring out a fairer system of taxation than we have right now. And you have to make some hard decisions when you're in the legislature that you are voted in to do. And sometimes it means increasing the pot. You've got to grow the pot in order to take care of all of the needs of the state. It doesn't mean shrinking the pot.
You mentioned earlier that the poll numbers show that there is support for the earned income tax credit. You're also urging people to contact their lawmakers and urge them not to cut it, not to reduce it anymore in order to pay for road repairs. Do you sense that this issue has that sort of salience, if you will, for the population, that they're going to be motivated to try and encourage their lawmakers to do something else?
Well, it doesn't have to be just that population that benefits from the earned income tax credit that will be calling their lawmakers. We're hoping that all people in the state will understand and then understand how important this issue is to the state. And everybody should be making calls to their legislators to talk about, you know, how you create a road funding proposal does not negatively impact certain sectors of society. So we're not just asking low-income people to call. We're asking people who understand the moral end of what we're actually trying to talk about, which is you don't create budgets that are balanced on the backs of low-income people. That's not a great way to run a government.
Gilda Jacobs, thank you very much for your time.
Okay, thank you.
Gilda Jacobs is the president of the Michigan League for Public Policy.